Hi everyone, welcome to the CFG podcast. I'm Abby, I work in the marketing team at CFG. I'm joined by Zoe from the membership team.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And we're delighted to welcome Emma Chaplin, who is the Director of Association of Independent Museums, also known as AIM. Hi Emma.
Hello, hi, thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for being part of it. We're really pleased that you could be on this episode with us. We wanted to start off, if you'd like to introduce AIM and a little bit about what you do as an organisation and what your purpose is.
Our role is to provide support to and a voice for the independent museum sector in the UK. We're actually the largest museum membership organisation in the country. We have around 1,000 museum members. And they range from really small community and volunteer-run museums to some of the largest visitor attractions in the UK. They're mainly charitable organisations, so essentially they're small businesses and have all the finance sort of challenges and joys to contend with, as you can imagine. And they also do include places that people might not strictly think as museums. Our purpose is helping heritage organisations prosper, and that kind of covers everything we do. And as part of that, we're really pleased to have a partnership with Charity Finance Group, because one of the things our members do all have in common is that they're all trying to do their finance as well as they possibly can.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's brilliant. And in terms of sort of the huge range and depth of the AIM membership and what they look like, what do you think they bring to local communities across the UK?
I honestly think that the independent museum sector is sort of the cultural backbone of the UK. Our members range from small village museums telling the story of the village and how it's evolved, to stories of amazing sites. I know one of our members is Cresswell Crags in Derbyshire. That's an Ice Age site that not many people know about. They're large attractions that tell the stories of everyday people. So places like Beamish in the northeast, up in County Durham, that's all about the lives of ordinary people up in the northeast. We've got museums in our membership like Kinnan Valley Museum in Aberdare in South Wales, and they're actually a former local authority museum that's been taken on by the community to run and be part of the lifeblood of their community, their sort of cultural heart. And we also have museums that tell important national stories, so people like the National Mining Museum for Scotland, they're a member as well. SS Great Britain down in Bristol, sort of part of our maritime heritage. So yes, I think when you think of UK history, an AIM member is out there somewhere contributing to it and connecting with their local community or telling stories for visitors from the UK and from abroad as well.
That's lovely. I think that's what one of the things I love about AIM members, that you just have such hidden treasures all across the UK. So lovely.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Emma, I mean, through the partnership that CFG has with AIM, we've been lucky enough to interact with a lot of your members and gain some insight into the sector at the moment. But I was wondering, what's your perspective on how the sector looks for independent museums at the moment and what the future looks like as well?
Yeah, the museum sector has not had the easiest time, I think it's fair to say, in recent years. The sort of austerity and particularly cuts to local government have had an impact on the wider sector, and there have been more museum closures in recent times. Having said that, the independent museum sector is incredibly resilient and is obviously hallmarked by its entrepreneurial spirit. So we do have lots of members that are thriving and continue to do well. Having said that, the visitor market is incredibly competitive for those people who are competing for the leisure market and maybe for tourist visitors. So that's hard. Our conference this year is all about being a great destination And that's because, you know, all our members need to keep on our game, whether you're a destination for tourists or for your local community. Undoubtedly, the squeeze on local government budgets has been felt by independent museums, although not in the same way as museums that are directly funded by local authorities, but many members maybe received some kind of support, maybe an annual grant, and they're the things that have been cut as the squeeze has been put on local government, and also in ways such as the charitable relief on business rates. Most of our museums as charities, they obviously get the 80% relief, but many had also enjoyed a discretionary further 20%. But that's the sort of thing that's been squeezed as local government has looked to balance its own books. The other thing in the sector is we're a sector that thrives on grant funding. So obviously lottery funding through the National Lottery Heritage Fund, but also charitable trusts and philanthropy. And the competition for grant funding is definitely higher than ever. AIM as an organisation, we run several grant funds ourselves, and certainly they've never been more oversubscribed than they are now. So that's tough. Having said that, there are opportunities for museums on the sort of financial front. Particularly, one of our big planks is encouraging museums to make sure they're taking advantage of gift aid if they can. And there's also the fairly new museums and galleries exhibition tax relief that's out there. But again, these are both things that take sort of capacity and time for museums to get to grips with. But yeah, so there's challenges, but also opportunities out there.
Fantastic. Yeah. In that sort of line, what would you like to see? Are there any big things that you'd like to see change to improve the operating environment for your members?
I think one of the key things which has been a bit of a perennial for AIM is around gift aid, because it is a really important income stream for a lot of our members. And yes. Any moves that can make it simpler, particularly for smaller organisations to administer, and maybe a bit more generous and widespread. Anything that makes gift aid easier for particularly small charitable organisations to use would make a massive difference. We also have a big advocacy campaign at the minute in AIM around business rates, because the way that business rates are applied to the museum sector isn't consistent, and at times can seem to penalise commercial entrepreneurial activity. It's a big, long topic that I'm not going to get into now, but it's something that we're working with other sector partners to push on to help that that environment for museums too.
Amazing. Looking ahead, what is the biggest focus for AIM this year, would you say, and what would you like to achieve?
Gosh, yes, we seem to be busy on all sorts of fronts, really, so it's hard to pick out one thing. Obviously, our partnership with CFG continues to be really important, and we want to make sure our members make the most of it, so we're still encouraging our members to make sure they sign up for CFG membership benefits. A lot of our members, you know, the big issues are around confidence in their financial information as trustees, making sure that they feel that they've got the right information to run their business effectively, and that they're taking advantage of things when they need to. So that making sure that we work as effectively with you as possible. And we're always keen to hear from members what more support they might want on that front, what topics are important to them. Yeah. Closely linked to that, one of our key areas of work is around governance and good governance. Again, it's linked to financial management, but we have a program called Prospering Boards, where we support museum boards who are wanting to tackle particular issues or particular challenges. And that has been incredibly popular. We've just given out 10 new grants to support museums on that, and we're looking to build on our trustee guides and resources that we already have available. We also have a regular Heritage Trustee newsletter that goes out to Heritage Trustees that we'll be looking to build on as well. And the final thing, one more thing, Many years ago, it must be, I'm getting old, I can't remember, it must be at least 5 or 6 years ago, if not 7 or 8, we commissioned an economic impact assessment toolkit for museums. So museums could analyse their sort of visitor data and their income and work out what their economic impact was on the area that they worked in. It's been an incredibly important advocacy tool, but I say it was done a little while ago and the underlying data now is a little bit old. So at the moment, DC Research are working with us to review and renew the underlying data. We've done a big member survey on it and they're putting all the right economic information in it. So later in the year, we'll be relaunching the economic impact assessment toolkit and hoping our members can take full advantage of that to understand what impact they have, but also to show it to their partners and stakeholders as well.
Amazing. That sounds like such a useful resource. I've got one more thing to add. The AIM podcast, Emma. That'll be on your list.
We would love to do an AIM podcast, and I know some of my colleagues are really keen. But, it's just, I think we need to follow your lead. And the only danger is I'm concerned that if we start talking, we might never stop. But it would be a great way to showcase what's going on in the independent museum sector and also share good practice. So yes, maybe. I mean, one of the things I haven't mentioned that is really important for our members and probably true of most CFG members generally is about diversifying income streams. That is, you know, always a top topic for people want to do more of, and independent museums generally do very well at trying to keep different income streams going, but it is a constant it's a constant challenge to do more of it and find out what works and come up with new ideas. So that's something that we will definitely be continuing to work on over the coming year.
And just to pick up on what you said about just gaining more insight from your members about what their challenges are and what they want from your membership. Similarly, at CFG, we would encourage any AIM member of ours to get in touch and let us know what they value from it, firstly, but also what they want to see more of in the coming year.
Absolutely.
Because it's ever growing, as you know. So
And it's really interesting to know that what people need to know, and some things never go away. People want to know when they need to set up a trading company, what sort of audit they want. But then there are some of the thornier things as well. And it's great to be working with you guys so that we can signpost people to the experts on these things and make sure they're getting really excellent advice.
Yes, definitely. Emma, thank you so much for taking part in the podcast. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Yes,
it's been so delightful. I guess we'll see you at the AIM conference.
We'll be at the National Civil War Centre in Newark from the 20th to the 22nd of June. So, yes, very much looking forward to it. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Emma.